And welcome to the Sportscast, December 5th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. The SEC Championship, probably one of the best I've seen in years, or since I've been watching the SEC Championship, which started back in 2011, turned out to be one of the greatest comebacks from Alabama, maybe since the championship of last year, like the national championship. But we were nervous, but Alabama came through and are still number one. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about it is Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, glad to be here, and definitely glad to be here after a Crimson Tide victory that was definitely in doubt. Add to it, you said great comeback. That actually was an SEC championship record for the greatest comeback by any team in the history of SEC championship game.
Now, Georgia was up in the first half. Georgia was up 21-14. Yes, it was only a touchdown, but Georgia looked good in the first half. Tuau actually got injured during the first half. Got an ankle. I think it was an ankle sprain, or he rolled on his ankle. But
yeah, sprained ankle.
What were your thoughts about the first half?
First half. Well, the beginning of the game, it looked like Alabama was going to do Alabama things from the get-go. They came out in a fury. Georgia's opening drive ended in a way they did not want, with our defense just smothering Jake Fromm. Quinnen Williams sacked him and forced three and out. Georgia punted to Jaylen Waddle. Waddle almost brings it to the house, but lands Alabama in great field position. Alabama was driving, only to have the bottom fall out after that. Georgia quickly capitalized. That first half, Georgia just looked phenomenal. They were just hitting on all cylinders. They couldn't miss. They were just dominating in every facet of the game. They really were playing mistake-free, if you really look at it. And Alabama on their side, after that first touchdown, they answered on that next drive and tied things up. But it looked like Alabama had little life after that. And any time Alabama had some positivity come their way, they quickly negated that with some horrible miscues. Everything that went wrong for – could have gone wrong for Alabama, went wrong for Alabama. You had sure-handed receivers dropping balls, namely Irv Smith, man. Deep bomb, wide open, right in his hands, and drops it. But Georgia, give them credit, man. They just came out, and because they've been hearing all week and the weeks leading up to that they were no good, that they weren't as good as they were the previous year, and that Alabama was just going to run them out of the building. Well, that Georgia team wasn't hearing any of it, and it showed. And their style of play and their tenacity. Tua, yeah, like you said, got hurt, and that was affecting his ability to throw the ball and perhaps even his decision-making, because his decision-making was just way off, just making some ill-advised throws. It looked like he lacked confidence as well, and it seemed like every opportunity he got to throw the ball, he was going for the home run and was trying to force things to happen that weren't there. One thing that was particularly disturbing to me, while we were struggling in the passing game, we weren't running the ball at all. And when we did run the ball, we had some success, but would never go back to it. And that just kind of confused me. So that first half was clearly all Georgia, even though we brought it to within 7 points before halftime.
Yeah. At halftime, the score was 21-14, and I was saying at halftime, and I was telling you guys, put Jalen Hurts, because the Bulldogs secondary was stopping every pass that Tua was giving, and once Jalen came in, used him and Harris, Alabama was unstoppable.
Right. Well, going into the second half, Tua still wasn't making good decisions, and there were some throws that were that could have been there, but his accuracy was not. So while you had some folks that were open, the ball wasn't being delivered the way it should have been that would have allowed Alabama to capitalize. And in that second half, Alabama had an opportunity with the ball, getting the ball back to tie things up, but sputtered and returned quickly to the sideline with a three and out. And then on the next possession, Georgia just rams it down their throat and scores it, making it 28-14. And it really looked at times like Georgia was about to run away with it. Maybe even score 40 or 50 points against Alabama. It really seemed that way for the longest while. But then things started shifting. Started making less and less mistakes. Defense started tightening up, making better decisions. And they made some adjustments. But still, they were allowing Georgia to do a lot of things that, quite frankly, no other offense has been doing against them. Jake Fromm had a phenomenal day. I mean, just phenomenal. And this is the guy that everybody was saying, he was given the label of game manager. And as a matter of fact, some of the Georgia faithful were sitting there wanting to call for him to be benched in favor of Justin Fields. But they released the reins, and Jake Fromm was just phenomenally throwing for over 300 yards and just hitting all his receivers, including that incredible tight end they've got. Riley Ridley was making us look bad as well. Kind of hurt a little bit being Calvin's brother, but hey, you got to do what you got to do for your team, right?
Yeah.
But in the second half, things after a while started getting back to Alabama's favor, and then I guess what really did it, unfortunately for Tua, was when he came out and Jalen Hurts came in, and Jalen Hurts just took the team on his shoulders and got them to an improbable victory. And most would have said with Tua out, that was it for Bama. You might as well call it a wrap. But man, no, not at all. Jalen took that team and did what he had to do, and the team as a whole picked up their game to another level and just was able to put Georgia down. It was just amazing to watch. I'm still blown away by it.
Now, did you see any differences between this game and the national championship of last year? Do you see any similarities and differences from that game? Because it had that same feeling.
It really did. You make it even go so far as to say the games mirrored each other. Because Georgia had a lot of success like they did in this game, in the national championship game. So it kind of carried over. And it's funny that, irony came into play yet again. It took a backup quarterback coming off the bench in the second half to beat Georgia. So for 2 years in a row, the backup defeated them. And it looked like in both games, Georgia wasn't prepared. They just looked stunned and looked like their eyes were in the headlights, and they didn't know what to do.
I don't think they learned a lesson from last year.
Apparently not, even though it kind of looked like they did. But it really, to me, looked like they didn't prepare for Jalen at all. And which is kind of surprising, given what's happened and knowing that Alabama would probably use them in packages where they're both on the field together, and then also prepare for the off chance that Jalen may come in and have to do something. But it looks like they were just straight Tua focused and nothing else.
How do you rate Tua Tagovailoa? Some people say that he doesn't work well under pressure or when he gets pressured. How do you see him in big games like these?
Well, I see in big games like these, really, this was the only big game that he's really, I guess, struggled in. But then, too, in the big games, when he struggled, it was mainly due to the fact that he's fighting injury. So it greatly would alter his style of play and his decision-making, as well as his confidence, his comfort level. Knowing that he had limitations with his feet, with his legs, whether it be his knee or in the SEC championship game. Confidence of if he had to run, he wouldn't be able to. So he just was not really on point mentally when making good decisions. But other than that, in the big games, let's take a look at this objectively. Against Georgia last year, the biggest stage of all, he came in as a freshman and led him to the national championship. And then against LSU in Baton Rouge, he passed over 300 yards. He had an interception, but, I mean, it happens. But he had a pretty big game there. I think I can't remember the amount of touchdowns he had, but he did very well there. And where many people were saying that he probably wouldn't have success at all, but he proved them wrong and he marched on to Mississippi State. Yeah, that was a big game, and no, he did not perform well, but he was injured and he only played two quarters, and then he had to come out and didn't play the rest of the game. And then the next big game, which was Auburn, he set a school record for touchdowns in a game, had a phenomenal day passing-wise, and put up Heisman-type numbers and helped his case with the pursuit of the Heisman. If we had to pinpoint a struggling point, the Georgia game clearly was his struggling time. Yes, he was not the typical Tua. He did not play well. He had to rely on others to do the work for him. So one game, I don't think that's going to negate how good he is or label him or perhaps say maybe he's overrated. It's silly. I think, you know, he's done well for 98% of the pressure games.
Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa had 164 yards. Jalen Hurts had 82 yards. Jalen Hurts had one heck of a game. Like that last touchdown that last drive he did was incredible. I mean, it was probably probably the highlight of his career. How do you view his career so far with Alabama, especially after this game?
He's had a great career for Alabama, and regardless of what transpired from the national championship game to this point in the season, it's not really going to diminish what he's contributed. The man has guided Alabama to two national championships. He did suffer an incredible setback and went through probably one of the greatest greatest shows of adversity than anyone's ever experienced, you know, in football. And he just endured great trial, great criticism, and just went through hell. And where most people would have given up and taken their toys and gone home, which is the norm now for the typical athlete. If something didn't go their way, run off, transfer, you know, instead of staying back to fight. Jalen didn't do that. He stood by his team. He worked his tail off. He developed his overall game. He had become a better passer, a better decision maker. And he just sat back and just waited for the opportunity and didn't complain about it. And that's just phenomenal. And leading up to this game, maybe two, 3 weeks before, I just think in the back of my mind, some point, Jalen Hurts may come in and have to win a game for us. Little did I know it came to fruition in the SEC championship. And I couldn't think of a better way to close, I wouldn't say close yet, but maybe, but close his time at Alabama with a phenomenal win that he was able to provide for this team. And he took no credit for it. He just kept on talking about team, we, not me. Just tremendous show of character. And this victory here, I know we got two more games to go. This victory here just completely solidified himself as an Alabama legend. And to be honest with you, I think we need to start a GoFundMe account to erect a statue for the man on campus.
Jalen Hurts will definitely be remembered. Obviously, we don't know if he'll transfer out after this season. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the general consensus is he probably will transfer out. He still has 1 year of eligibility. He does graduate from the University of Alabama in December, so, and he's graduating early. So he'll be done, and he'll either go pro. I think he'll take some time to really evaluate where he'd stand in the draft order. And based on what kind of feedback they've given him, he'll make an educated decision. But more than likely, he probably will transfer, and he'll take another year to fine-tune his craft and perhaps upgrade his status for the following NFL draft. Certainly, Alabama fans will not hold anything against him. It's not going to be a bitter farewell. It's going to be, we appreciate everything you've done, and we love you, you know, and then watch him wherever he goes and cheer for him whenever he steps on the field. I think it's going to be a great separation. I think that he's going to be successful wherever he goes.
Where do you see Jake Fromm? Where's his future lies?
I think he's got a tremendous future ahead of him. And I think that he has proven that he's not a game manager. He's not just somebody who's going to hand the ball off to Elijah Holyfield or DeAndre Swift and occasionally have to make some big plays. He clearly showed himself as a leader, not only that offense, but that team. And for anybody to disagree and call for his benching is absolutely just ludicrous. They need to reevaluate football if they say any different. I think this is the guy. This is the guy that is going to be a legend for Georgia, and he has tremendous potential for even greater next year. He's got a lot of folks coming back. So I know Justin Fields is a phenomenal athlete, and everybody's waiting to see him, but not his time yet. It's still Jake Fromm's time. Until he has some incredible collapse, which I doubt we'll see, you keep him in there and let it be his team and quit all the talk and the criticisms. And let this man have this team, and I think you'll be happy with the results you get.
Yeah, Georgia with this loss did not make it to the college football playoffs. If they would have won, they would have made it. But the college football playoff committee decided on Oklahoma and to get that final fourth spot. And here are the final four spots for this year's college football playoff ranking. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. How do you view this top four and also look at Oklahoma? How much of a threat are they for Alabama?
I agree with the top four, but if you really want to look past the politics of everything, if you really want to say who the best four teams in the country are, Georgia is clearly a top four team. And I think everybody agrees with that. You know, it was really beginning to take form the weeks leading into the SEC championship. But a great exclamation point to that statement was added by their performance to Alabama in the SEC championship game. And if you really, really wanted the top four teams in the playoff, Georgia would have been there. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I don't want to play them again.
Me either.
No, sir. No, sir. Yeah. But I would have respected that decision for them to be in there. Now, I'm not trying to disrespect Oklahoma. I'm not trying to disrespect Ohio State. I just think Georgia was better than both of those teams. I just hate that they dropped that game to LSU. Again, they really shouldn't have won. Had they used that kind of play against LSU, that game's not close. Regardless if it's in Baton Rouge, that game wouldn't be close. But I think when you see situations like this, it's definitely a stronger call to expand in the playoffs. Six games, or really eight games. Make it happen, because you really got to – like this, man, you've got to put the best teams in there. But I'm not trying to take anything away from Oklahoma. I mean, they did what they had to do. They only lost one game. They avenged that one loss because they defeated Texas in the championship game. And they were able to advance, and they did it in quite impressively. Yes, Oklahoma, offensively, yeah, they're a threat to Alabama. Alabama has not played an offense like that. As good as Georgia's offense was against them, this is a different level. This Jake Fromm is good, but Kyler Murray is next level. Kyler Murray brings more than one dimension to the table, and he's burning you for 400 yards in the game and to the air. Then he's added another 100 or so on the ground, so he can beat you any number of ways. It's a very potent offense. But then again, one would argue they really haven't played defenses. The Big 12 is not known for defense by any stretch of the imagination. And they definitely haven't played a defense with the likes of an SEC team. Definitely not from a physical standpoint. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch, to see how they're able to respond to that physical defense and just how tough they are. But I believe they're going to be able to score in Alabama. And Alabama's going to have to play mistake-free football. They're going to have to avoid the miscues that they have been prone to do here as of late. And that offense has got to get back to doing what it's capable of doing. And Tua is going to have to be on in order for them to match Oklahoma shot for shot. Yeah, they're definitely a threat, and people are downplaying Oklahoma against Alabama. Quit downplaying these teams. You know, these teams are ranked where they are for a reason. They're not there by mistake. They're not there just because some dudes in the back were bored one day and said, "Okay, I think this looks good. Let's put them there." No. They're number four for a reason. They got a guy who's arguably the best player in the nation and who's more likely going to win the Heisman Trophy, a quarterback. Yeah, they're a good team. This isn't Citadel.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. Obviously, we'll definitely preview that towards the week of the championship game. Obviously, that'll be during the holiday week, so we'll definitely squeeze in a sports cast during the Christmas and New Year's week. But yeah, it's going to be a very, very good matchup. Obviously, you know, people say Clemson is the strongest on the other end, but we'll save that towards the end because we're able to analyze what's going to happen in the next 3-4 weeks. And you think Tua will be ready, will be more healthier by then, you think?
Well, certainly the opportunity is there for him to heal. I mean, you've got several weeks, though. Well, we don't play until, I believe, was it the 27th or 29th of December? So you essentially got a month's rest almost to heal, recover, repair, rehab. Matter of fact, I believe Nick Saban said this past weekend that the players are going to be all for 2 weeks. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for everybody that's suffering bumps and bruises to get better. Now, how well will Tua be? We're not really sure that as the severity of his bumps and bruises. I think that more will come out as we get closer to the playoff itself.
But I think he'll be ready enough because, you know, they're prepared to, you know, if Jalen has to step in at halftime, he's prepared. And, of course, Jalen is way more healthier than Tua.
Right. And I think having Jalen there definitely adds to the opportunity for greater success. And definitely by that time, Jalen will be 100% as far as his ankle goes. So Alabama's in good hands. It's just a question of what kind of dynamic on the offense are we going to be looking at that point.
Exactly. Like the timing of the break, you just can't beat it. You can't really beat it. But anyways, let's look at other college news. Big news this week, Urban Meyer has decided to retire after the Rose Bowl. What are your thoughts about that? You think he's what are your thoughts about that?
No, I think he'll be named the Packers head coach in 2 months.
You're definitely going through Tyler's dreams.
Absolutely. In all seriousness, I think that everyone who has followed college football and who's been following Urban Meyer's storyline envision this happening. I think we all knew at some point that he was either going to jump to the NFL or jump to another team or just call it quits altogether. And, of course, that has come to pass. And I think that the stress of not only coaching, but the stress of the situation carried over into this season, you know, along with the normal stresses of everyday coaching life just really took their toll on him. And he's had some health concerns in the past. So it was only a matter of time. So was I blindsided? Not at all. Now, do I think that he may come back? A strong possibility, whether college or pros, to be honest with you. I think there might be a part of him that wants to test the NFL market. But that remains to be seen. But, yeah, I'm taken back by.
Still there.
Hey, you there?
Yes, I'm still here. In other news, what are your thoughts about Mike Locosley? He's an Alabama assistant coach going to Maryland.
Oh, Mike Locosley, man. I tell you what, he's very deserving. He didn't have a good time his first go-around as a head coach. Of course, I don't know of many people who would have success at New Mexico or New Mexico State. I forgot which one it is, but, you know, it's really irrelevant. But he was able to come to Alabama and work under Nick Saban and some other coaches and really work and find on some things that maybe weren't there or maybe would have been considered weaknesses in the past for him. And he was able to take a giant step forward this season when he was granted the offensive coordinator position and was able to do things for Alabama that we've never seen in Alabama history. And was able to take us to a whole nother level and put us in a position to win another national championship. Great players, coach. I've heard nothing but positive from teammates about him, and from what I understand, he's a guy with a good character, very deserving after what he's done for Alabama. And I think going to Maryland, he's got his work cut out for him. But I think any person who's worked under Nick Saban definitely can come out on top and will be able to translate success, you know, wherever they go.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things. If you're an assistant coach in Alabama, your value goes high. You're definitely in the job market. You'll get a call, you know, Kiffin for FAU, you know, getting paid tons of money, and the guy from Colorado as well. So it's quite interesting how much value you increase just for being an assistant.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're working under one of the greatest coaches ever in the game of college football, perhaps the greatest coach. And what he's been able to do for any assistant coach that has come through there has just been phenomenal. And he's taken guys that many people probably would have left for dead or not touched at all, and was just able to dramatically turn them around and transform who they were as coaches and what they are when they finish the Saban Academy of coaching is not anywhere near where what they were when they first came in there. And they leave taking a piece. It's incredible to see. I mean, I don't understand fully what was all involved in his situation. I know with Reuben Foster's situation, it had been an ongoing drama-filled soap opera with his on-again, off-again, ex-girlfriend. And from reports I had read, the police anywhere were all too familiar with those two. And it was just utter chaos. So you kind of saw that happening and transpiring the way it did. But not really sure exactly what the true details of Kareem's situation was. However, regardless of what the details were, his decision making was absolutely, pathetic. And as a man and as a highly paid NFL player, regardless of what the situation is, you got to take yourself out of that situation, you know. Whatever that girl's problem was or whatever was going on, it's not worth, you know, throwing everything away. It should have been left alone instead of him running full speed and sailing across the hallway and knocking her into a wall. That shouldn't have been the decision he made. There's no justifying that. I don't know what the girl said or did or what the real situation was, like I said.
No excuses.
But you got to remove your. There's no excuses. And I don't understand these players. They don't understand. They don't get it. Don't put yourself in these places. There is no justification. I mean, regardless of what happens, regardless of who said this, who said that, or whatever, don't put yourself in situations that could go dramatically south for you. I mean, Reuben Foster, I mean, he's been dealing with this nonsense with his on-again, off-again ex-girlfriend for years from what I'm seeing. You know, he asked for this. And, you know, it angers me because this is a guy that was about to be put under the jail. Then all of a sudden the girl recants her story and says that it actually didn't happen. So he got the, you know, get out of jail free card. You know, he's got another chance at life. He's got opportunity to better himself. What does he do? He stays right where he was. And here we are months later, he's in trouble again. And I'm pretty shocked that the Redskins signed him, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he's on this little exempt list or naughty corner list that the NFL has placed him on. The fact that an organization's even entertaining bringing him on is ridiculous. It doesn't even need to be in the conversation. You know, Ray Rice is out of the league. He wasn't given an opportunity after what he did, but they're entertaining the possibility of bringing Reuben Foster back in. And to be honest with you, I think somebody's going to entertain the possibility of bringing Kareem Hunt back in. So, what value are we placing on our players here? And they're acting like complete fools.
It's a mess.
And then to add to it, you know, you're going to raise a whole nother level of craziness has been raised because you got the Colin Kaepernick crowd, and I'm not saying I'm on this side or that side or whatever, but I'm just stating solid facts here. Is that, you know, this stuff is being allowed to go on, and, you know, Reuben Foster's being signed, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick's still not being given an opportunity to have a job. So that's going to be a whole nother mess. And like I said, I'm not, you know, going to take sides of his protest or whatever, but that's a whole nother thing. It's just, it's turning into an incredible just drama, and it's absolutely ridiculous what the NFL has become.
Wow. This is, yeah, this is pretty interesting. What do you think, Kareem Hunt, do you think Hunt will return to the game, or do you think this is it?
Well, I think if somebody's willing to give Reuben Foster a shot, then more than likely Kareem Hunt is going to be given a shot. I mean, he's an All-Pro, whereas Reuben Foster, he wasn't an All-Pro yet. But then again, too, with the Me Too movement and a lot of the things that are going on now where women have been greatly wronged and have been abused and so on and so forth, and who have suffered tragic events due to people like this has been going on. It's really hard for me to see an NFL team or the NFL as a whole allowing the people who are committing these atrocities back into the league or on teams. I think it sets a bad example.
Well, yeah, it does, man. We'll see what happens. Like you were saying, if Foster got signed, Hunt will, but I think Hunt will take some time. This year is just out of the question. I think he's done for this season. Some people think he's probably out for next season, but maybe the following year is a better chance. So we'll see.
Right.
Anyways, we're coming towards the end of the show. Is there anything else we missed?
Yeah, I'd like to address something you and I have talked about and has actually come up here as of late in our discussions and our chat here is the notion that Tua Tagovailoa is overrated.
We did kind of brush that up a little bit early in the show, but yeah, I mean, here are my thoughts. I think Tua is a young quarterback, first year starting. He had a few knocks. You know, but I think the proof in the pudding is probably be more next year. But that's what I think.
Yeah, and here are my thoughts on it. I think that the media did cause great buildup for Tua coming into the season after that performance in the national championship game and set up just lofty, perhaps even unreal expectations and bold statements have been made about him throughout the year. Some deserve it, some maybe not. Some need to be a wait and see. And I think that we all were placing just incredible expectations on a 19-year-old kid that, quite honestly, shouldn't have been placed on him. Yeah, sure, expectations should be there. And Tua has had a completely a phenomenal season in. But here's the meat and potatoes of it. The kid, like I said, is only 19 years old. As good as he's been this year, he's just a sophomore, and this has been the first real season he's had as the starter for the University of Alabama. So it's really unfair to place any kind of label on him yet. Until we see what he does in the playoffs that are to come this year, and until we really see what he's able to do next season, we really can't, you know, pigeonhole him or, you know, just place him in this category or that category. I think we just need to take what we have right now and say, wow, this kid's phenomenal. He's great. But, you know, the jury's got to be out until we have another season. And and because the kid has a bad game to discredit the lofty praise, it's ridiculous. You know, every quarterback or every player at some point is going to have that bad game. It's just inevitable. There's going to be that game where nothing works, nothing's clicking. And the team as a whole has to pick up the pieces for him and carry him. And that's just the nature of the beast, you know. And a comment was made, you know, that even the great Justin Herbert is being praised as the number one potential pick for the NFL draft. Even though he has struggled this year, it was due to not having as good a talent around him that Tua Tagovailoa had. No, it has nothing to do with talent. Around you, if you look at the intangibles, the mechanics, all the small things not involving the players, his accuracy, his decision making, so on and so forth. You know, Justin Herbert was making bad decisions, the second half of the season that were uncharacteristic of him, and he wasn't quite the same player as he was in the first half. And so that doesn't mean that he's overrated. Doesn't mean that he's underrated.
Does he remind you of Russell Wilson?
Tua?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of similarities. I think they have the same kind of style of play. I think that Tua might be a little faster than Russell, but they're about the same height. Well, I think Tua is a little taller. But man, their decision making, the level of excitement they bring, what they bring to the table as a leader, man, greatly mirrors each other. It's like maybe like they're the same player at times.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's early, obviously, but he's definitely, riding high right now as well. I think he's a great, phenomenal player. That's why he's in the top three to win the Heisman, and which is this Saturday. Who do you think will win the Heisman? I know it's between Tua Tagovailoa, Kyler Murray, and Dwayne Haskins. Who do you think will win?
Right. Well, after this past weekend, I think that had Tua had another one of his passing games and had been on point like he has been, I think that would have sealed the deal for him. However, since he did have that bad game, unfortunately, at the absolutely wrong time, I think that there's doubt now as to him winning the Heisman. And to be quite honest with you, I think because of that performance, even though you really shouldn't look at one performance, you should look at it, cumulative. But I think the most recent eye test is going to play into the minds of the voters. And I think that game cost him the trophy this year. And, kudos to Kyler Murray for the exceptional year he's had. I mean, you really can't take away anything from that guy. If he wins it, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, there's no disparity there. There should be really no argument. But I think that because of what we saw, there's doubt now. But I think that it really slipped from his grasp because of what happened.
Yeah, and, Tua has another year. So, he could potentially, maybe, probably going to win it next year. So he should be fine.
Well, he's definitely got a great opportunity to do it again next year because he's returning everybody. All his receivers are coming back. Irv Smith, tight end's coming back. He's going to have a strong backfield again. Najee Harris will be back. Damian Harris will be leaving, and more than likely Josh Jacobs will probably be leaving as well. Think he's going to be graded high by the NFL draft scouts coming up, so I don't foresee him staying. But he's just going to have a lot of incredible weapons at his disposal returning, so you really could possibly see him back in the thick of it again.
Yeah, it's going to be a good Heisman Trophy presentation this weekend, Saturday on ESPN. I think it's 8 p.m. live from New York, so we'll definitely continue the college football talk throughout the Heisman. And sadly enough, are you ready for game predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Navy at Army.
Well, this is always a fun game to watch, man. I mean, it's the last college football game of the regular season, and it gives us a little something to tie us over until the bowl season kicks off. And it historically, it's just one of the greatest series in college football. The pageantry of it, everything surrounding it, is just absolutely amazing. But let's just face it, Army is going to win. But I think they'll have a tough time just because this is a heated rivalry. Navy's not really having a good season this year. And I believe Army has won, 9 games? Is that right?
Good question. I don't know for sure. I have to look back.
Well, Army standards, they've performed better than they historically do, and they're a really good team this year.
So you're picking Army
for them to win this game. I'm picking Army, but I think it'll be a little bit closer than what, you know, paper would say.
Yeah, it's the only college football game this weekend.
17-14. Yeah.
Jaguars at the Titans.
Man. You know, I've been really disappointed to see how both these teams have performed this year, man. But the Jaguars, man, what a train wreck. Gosh, it's amazing what has transpired, you know, from last season to this. And then you got Tennessee on the other side. You know, they show signs of going to the next level and being a good playoff team, and then they show signs of incredible sputtering. Marcus Mariota, you really can't count on him. It's just inconsistencies, I guess, is the best word to use for this. I think, though, Jaguars are still traveling down a long, deep hole, and I think Tennessee is slightly better than them. And I think that they maybe have a little bit more better together than they do. So I think Tennessee wins.
Tennessee wins. Panthers at the Browns.
I think the Browns will give them a fight. They're definitely playing at a much better level now that Hugh Jackson is gone. Baker Mayfield has seemingly taken this team over and has made it his team. They're playing a lot better, and I think they're going to make this game competitive. And Carolina kind of is a little inconsistent too. I like the Browns.
The Browns win. Yeah, I think the Browns have some momentum since the coach has left. So we'll see what happens. Ravens at the Chiefs. This is a big game.
This is a huge game, especially for the Ravens. You know, they over the past few weeks, especially since inserting Lamar Jackson into the starting lineup, have been performing a lot better. As a matter of fact, they have won 3 in a row now. Ravens.
Let's go Ravens.
They also place themselves back into yeah, absolutely. They place themselves back into playoff talk. But the thing is, though, in order to make that talk into reality, they're going to have to keep winning. So this is huge for them, not quite as huge for the Chiefs, but this is basically do or die for Baltimore. And I think Baltimore's defense is going to give Mahomes a little bit more trouble than he really wants to deal with. So I want to say Baltimore wins this game.
And are you a Lamar Jackson fan?
I'm becoming one. Really wasn't big on him coming into the draft just because I felt like he was one-dimensional and relied too much on his legs. And if he's ever in a situation where that run is neutralized, I think he struggles as a passer. So I've had my doubts. Now, I have liked what I've seen so far and what he's been able to do. But I need to see a little bit more for him before my attitude changes.
Colts at the Texans.
Man, if you were to pick against the Texans right now, you'd be fooled. They are the hottest team in the NFL right now. Deshaun Watson is incredible, and they're just going to keep rolling, man.
There you go. Houston wins. The Patriots at the Dolphins.
You know, the Dolphins are kind of iffy, too. They've been kind of inconsistent.
You're telling
me. They got the pieces. Yeah, I know. I know. This is your team, brother. And, you know, hey, I'm a big Kenyon Drake fan, you know, and he's been having a really good year. Minka Fitzpatrick's been doing pretty well for him as well.
Oh, yeah,
they have the talent, the pieces in Miami.
It's the quarterback.
Better than they
it's
are.
It's the quarterback.
Right. And my question is, how much longer are you going to invest in Tannehill? You know, I wanted to wait.
I think time's is up
a little bit.
I think time's up.
But I want, Time is up. I mean, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want to wait it out, too. But, brother, it's been too long, and it's time to start looking towards the future.
Yeah. Justin Herbert.
Because quite possibly, or maybe go after a veteran. I don't know, but something needs to be done. No. Because
when you're a rookie, you start from scratch. The Bills have Josh Allen. The Jets have Sam Darnold. So they're starting from scratch with the quarterback. And we got to do it because they're on the upswing and feel like we're in the downswing. The Patriots are going to tap out in the next couple of years. So I think we need to either get Tua or Herbert. That's it.
So would you go young or would you go veteran? Right,
I will
now
go young. I will go in? Young. I will not do the short-term fix. I'll do the long game, long-term fix.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, man, they've really got the pieces in place to be doing more than they're doing right now, and it's really been disappointing to watch them this year. It's really been frustrating, too, because, you know, it's good for football when Miami, who is an historically great NFL franchise, is not performing well at all, kind of like when the Cowboys aren't performing well at all. But, at the beginning of the season, the Dolphins looked better, and I think they would have beaten New England then. But New England is back to doing New England things again, and New England's going to win, and I think they're going to roll into the playoffs again and be a force as always. So I hate it. I'd like for the Dolphins to win. I think they have the capability, but New England is in their stride right now, so New England wins.
Yeah, well, like the last couple of years, the Dolphins have been winning in Miami, so we'll see if that trend continues. Giants at the Redskins.
Well, you know, had Alex Smith not gone out there, without question, Washington wins this handily. It looks like New York's playing better as of late. They're still not really a good team, but Washington right now offensively is a team in disarray. They really don't know who they are. And having Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez, good grief. It's really not going to carry them to where that they were looking towards going with Smith healthy. I think for the second week in a row, New York wins.
New York wins. Falcons at the Packers.
Man, it's the battle of the worst teams.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's definitely up there.
Packers are just in a whole other level right now of good Lord, they're awful. And I hate it, man, because I like the Packers. I love the organization. I love the history of it. And it's just shameful to see what their coach has brought them to. And it really shouldn't be like this. It's not good for football. And I hope whoever comes in has respect for the legacy of the Packers and quickly gets them back to where they need to be. But I think that Atlanta just has too much offense to be stopped by Green Bay. And I think Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley are going to have a big day. And I think Falcons win.
Falcons winning Green Bay. Jets at the Bills.
Well, let's see. I think the Bills will win this game. They've been playing better as of late. They seem to be getting better. And I think that they're starting to show signs of a potential good future. Neither one of them are really wowing us this year. But I got to go with Buffalo here.
The Buffalo Bills. The Broncos at the Niners.
Who? As you brought to us earlier, the Broncos just took a huge loss with Sanders tearing his ACL. Is that right?
Yes. The Achilles tendon, actually.
Achilles tendon. Sorry about that. Took a huge blow, especially right now as they're trying to fight for possible playoff contention. And San Francisco is just awful in themselves this year. Just That's a train wreck right now. But so even with the adversity that Denver is facing right now, I think they're going to win this game.
Eagles at the Cowboys, probably one of the biggest games of the season.
This is a good rematch of the earlier contest. It looks like Philadelphia has kind of rebounded here as of late, but the Cowboys are really hot right now, and I feel at some point they're going to stump their toe a little bit, but I don't feel like it's going to be this week. I think the Cowboys are going to win another fourth. They're going to win a fourth in a row, and claim a possible playoff spot coming up.
True. It's not going to be an easy game, but I think Dallas is going to have the W after this Sunday. The Rams at the Bears.
Rams at the Bears. Interesting contest, man. Defense versus offense. Bears lost a game they really shouldn't have this past weekend. Do we know if Trubisky's back or not?
I think all signs indicate he will be back.
Okay. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think the Rams are going to score as many points as they're used to. I think the Bears defense is going to keep them honest and it will make them work for everything that they get. How effective is Trubisky going to be coming back? Not really sure, but it definitely puts them in better position to possibly win. But I think that they're not quite ready yet, so I'm going to go with L.A.
L.A. Rams. And lastly, Minnesota at Seattle.
Man, kind of a good game to watch. Both teams are really showing something here as of late. But it looks like Seattle's kind of got more of an edge, more fire in them, and they're really making a push. I like what Russell Wilson's doing. I like what Lockett's doing. I think Seattle wins this game.
Seattle wins on Monday Night Football. And random question of the day, when was the last time you went to the movie theater?
Last month, went to see Venom.
And how was it?
Man, it was good. Definitely worth the see, worth the price of admission. As to another list of successes from the universe, definitely helps us forget of that awful version they gave us in years back in Spider-Man 3 when they gave us that ridiculous version of Venom and quite awful movie. Makes us forget about that completely and it's shown us something completely different. Tom Hardy was good in it. Really, really intense movie. Kind of starts off a little slow, but does pick up momentum as the movie goes on. Really entertaining flick.
I heard. I have to go see it. Maybe it might be in my local theater. I got to go check out the listings after this show. There's four more weeks left to the next championship game, probably three. How can people reach you? Because they have 3 weeks to reach you. How can people reach you and to talk about Alabama and Oklahoma?
Hey, I need somebody to reach me now. We've been saying this for how many weeks now, and I've yet to see the first email. I have yet to see the first message in my inbox or nothing like that. Now, come on. I need some folks to get on the wagon here, brother. I need some followers. I need some likes. I need some business. But reach me. Email 121training, number 12, one spelled out training at gmail.com. Get with me on Facebook at facebook.com/121training. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at 121training.
Thank you very much, Justin. We'll definitely be tracking Alabama in the next few weeks, like injury reports, what's going on. We'll be analyzing Oklahoma, what they did this past season. And, of course, we'll touch on Clemson and Notre Dame, another good game. But we'll see what happens next 4 weeks. We got a Heisman this Saturday, so we'll discuss the winner and reflect what he did this past season. And, yeah, college football still goes through. NFL is going to definitely take over primetime games. So we'll see what's going to happen there. But, Justin Riley, I really appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Man, great to be with you yet another week. I appreciate you.